Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church, and we're so glad that you've joined us in this study of the book of Joshua. Our prayer is that this study equips you to live the victorious life that is offered in Christ. God bless.
Welcome to Day 36 of Joshua, Volume 2, Living the Victorious Life. Today's title is Christ is Our Refuge. Psalm 46:10 through 11 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Our text today is Joshua 20:1 through 6. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities, and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city, and explain his case to the elders of that city. Then they shall take him into the city and give him a place, and he shall remain with them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unknowingly, and did not hate him in the past. And he shall remain in that city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of him who is high priest at the time. Then the manslayer will return to his own town and his own home, to the town from which he fled." Francis Schaeffer shares the historical importance of the cities of refuge discussed in Joshua 20. The Levite cities were divided into two parts. 6 of the 48 cities were cities of refuge. God had commanded in the Pentateuch, "The cities that you give to the Levites shall be the 6 cities of refuge, where you shall permit the manslayer to flee, and in addition to them, you shall give 42 cities." Numbers 35:6. So Joshua set up the cities of refuge when he divided the land. On Mount Sinai, God gave the moral law. God spoke all these words, and then came the Ten Commandments. Immediately after this, the civil law was given. As the race became a nation, they needed a civil law, so God gave them one. The civil law for the Jews was based as much on the command of God as was the moral law. One of the civil laws God gave was, "Whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place to which he may flee. If a man was a real murderer, he was to die. But a system was to be set up whereby a man who had slain somebody by mistake would not be put to death, but would have a place to escape." The Expositor's Bible Commentary gives additional details concerning these cities. If someone who killed accidentally fled to a city of refuge, the avenger of blood could not kill unless the manslayer ventured outside of the city gates. The purpose for cities of refuge was to prevent further innocent blood from being shed in the land. Before entering the city, a manslayer was required to stand at the gates and state his case in the presence of the elders. If presumed innocent, the inhabitants of the city would give him a place to live. The approval of the elders indicated that the leaders and the inhabitants of the city, 1, believed the account of the killer, 2, trusted him sufficiently to permit him to live in their midst, and 3, were willing to protect him from the avenger of blood. To remove his guilt and gain the freedom to return home, a manslayer was required to remain in a city of refuge until the death of whomever was high priest at the time of the killing. Some have suggested that since the high priest represented a sacrificial system, his death meant atonement for the sin of the manslayer. Avengers of blood in pursuit of manslayers undoubtedly tried to enter cities of refuge in search of people whom they wished to kill. It was necessary, therefore, to guard the city gates securely from such dangerous intruders. The cities of refuge are a beautiful picture of Christ. Our sin separates us from God, and leads to death. Yet, Jesus is our hiding place. In Christ, the sinner is sheltered from death. We can run to Christ for our protection. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins at the cross and gave us victory over death through his resurrection. Our high priest, Jesus, will never die. Therefore, we have an eternal salvation. As the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Questions. Explain what Christ as your refuge personally means to you today. What does Hebrews 7:22 through 25 say about your high priest? How does this relate to Jesus as your refuge? It reads, "This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." How does Hebrews 6:17 through 20 encourage you today? It reads, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise of the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." Pray with me. Lord, thank you for being our refuge. Teach us how we can run to you in our moments of failure, such that we can rest in the knowledge of your covering our sin. Teach us then how to live fully into your forgiveness. In Christ's name, amen. Mm-hmm.